السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. دا لاسٹ ٹائم وی وی ڈسکسنگ دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. وی اسٹاپڈ بائی دا ٹریٹی دیٹ واز ڈرون اپ بائی سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سو لیٹس ریڈ دیٹ ٹریٹی. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. This is what the slave of Allah Ta'ala, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, the leader of the believers, meaning Amir al-Mu'mineen, has offered the people of Jerusalem of security, granting them protection for themselves, their wealth, their churches, their children, the lowly amongst them, and the innocent, and the remainder of their people. Their churches are not to be taken, nor are they to be destroyed. Nor are they to be degraded or belittled. Neither are their crosses or their money. And they are not to be forced to change their religion, nor is any one of them to be harmed. No Jews are to live with them in Jerusalem. And it is required of the people of Jerusalem to pay the jizya, like the people of other cities. It is also required of them to remove the Romans and robbers from the land. If they leave, they will be safe in themselves and wealth until they reach their secure destination. And whoever of them stays here is also safe, provided he pays the same jizya as the people of Jerusalem. Whoever amongst the people of Jerusalem wishes to depart with their wealth, with the Romans, leaving their trading goods and children behind, then themselves, their trading goods, and their children are safe until they reach their secure destination. Whoever was present in Jerusalem before so and so was killed can stay in Jerusalem if he pays the jizya paid by the people of Jerusalem, or leave with the Romans, or return to his own people. They will not have to pay anything until the harvest is reaped. We ratify what is in this document with the covenant of Allah Ta'ala, the covenant of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the khalifs and the mu'mineen. If they, meaning the people of Ilya, gave what was required of them, meaning the jizya, then they are safe. The witnesses upon this were Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an, Amr bin al-As radiallahu an, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an, and Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu an. So this was written in 15 Hijri. Now if you read up the history of Jerusalem, you will find that whenever the Muslims were in power, then all people lived in peace. The Jews lived there in peace, the Christians lived there in peace. But whenever the Jews were in power, then only they people were secure, the Muslims and the Christians suffered at their hands. If the Christian people were in power, then the Jewish people and the Muslim people suffered. It's only when Muslims ruled that everybody was at peace, everybody was treated equally, etc. So, there is some incidents mentioned. Wasila bin Asqa, he said, I heard the Jabia gate, one of the main gates of Damascus, creak. So I became motionless. Suddenly, a great horse appeared. I dodged the horse and attacked the enemy, shouting, Allahu Akbar. They thought that they had been surrounded by our forces. He was alone there, Wasila bin Asqa. He said, but they thought they had been surrounded. So they immediately fled away towards the city, abandoning their governor. The one on the big horse was the governor. With my spear, I pushed the Roman governor off his horse. I tugged the rein of the horse, and it took flight. Seeing this, the fleeing soldiers paused to look around, and they saw me alone. Thus, having been discovered as a lone warrior, they came chasing after me. I brought down another horseman with my spear and killed him. Another soldier came near me and I killed him too. Finally, I made it back to my camp. When I met Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to tell him what had happened, I saw the Roman governor already there. He was running in front. He came to Khalid radiallahu anhu and he was begging for peace. See, if this one person could do that, where are we going to face this whole army? So like this, there were many incidents that took place, skirmishes between the two sides before Pala. The Romans sent a message to the Muslims that send us a man whom we can question as to what you want, what you're demanding, and what you're inviting towards. We will tell him what we think. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh sent Muaz bin Jabal al-Ansari radiallahu anh to go and talk to them. Now the Romans, they want to show their wealth, right? So they prepared now, you know, with riyakari now, with boasting, they, you know, spread things out. They put the most exquisite things in their possession on display, along with their sturdiest weapons. Because now they want, you see, it's all psychological warfare. They want him to come now, he must be overawed. He must go back and tell them, hey, these Romans, one thing, you know, they got what kind of weapons, they are so wealthy. They laid the ground with most precious carpets and cushions, because they wanted to sway his heart in order to seduce him from his mission or intimidate him with their weapons, one of the two. Either you get inclined towards their dunya now, or you get frightened for their weapons. However, Muaz bin Jabal al-Ansari radiallahu anh, he astonished them with total disinterest in all that they had to present. He didn't pay any attention to it. He maintained his dignified aloofness from the dunyavi things that they put on display. He walked, taking his horse with the reins, and refused to give it to a Roman stable boy. Now, normally the Romans, the leaders of the Romans, when they come, they jump off. Then they got a stable boy now. That person must take the horse and go and on. Muaz radiallahu anhu, he pulled his own horse. He refused to give it to any stable boy. He refused to sit down on those plush carpets and rugs and all that. He said, I will never sit on these cushions, because these cushions are exclusively used only by your rich, and the poor people are deprived of them. He sat on the ground. He didn't sit on the carpets, and he sat on the floor. And he said, I am only a slave of Allah Ta'ala like others. I sit on the carpet provided by Allah Ta'ala, and I will not allow myself to be treated differently from my brothers by wealth provided by him. Right? Now, they thought they're using psychological warfare, but see how he turned it around. Because obviously, majority of the people standing, they are all poor people. All the guards and all that, they are poor people. So they are listening. What he's telling them, that only your rich are using all these things. So I will sit like a poor person. We don't allow wealth to differentiate us. So now those people are hearing also. They questioned him about Islam. He explained it to them. They asked him about Isa alayhi salam, because they were thinking they're following Christianity. So they asked him about Isa alayhi salam. So he replied by reading an ayat of the Quran Sharif. He said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna masala Isa إِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ Verily the likeness of Isa alayhi salam before Allah is like the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, be, and he was. So what he was trying to explain to them, that you all are saying, Isa alayhi salam must be worshipped. He's a deity. Why? Because he was born without a father. Miraculous birth. So he's turning their attention to Adam alayhi salam. He's born without mother and father. But nobody say must worship Adam alayhi salam. So why are you saying must worship Isa alayhi salam? He told them what Muslims intended to follow. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qatilu alladhina yalunakum minal kuffar, wal yajidu fikum ghilza. Because they asked him, what's the intention of the Muslim army? So he recited this ayat. What's the meaning? O you who believe, fight those of the disbelievers who are close to you, and let them find the harshness in you. No diplomacy and all that, like what people are doing in today's zaman. The Romans reminded him, the reason you won against the Persians was due to the fact that their king died. Our king is still alive, and his army is numerous. So what they're trying to tell him is, don't think now you're just going to walk over us like how you walked over the Persians. Because the Persians and the Romans were the two superpowers. The Muslims had now defeated the Persians. Now only the Romans were left. So they're telling him, don't think now it's going to be a walk in the park. We different. The Persians never have their king. We got our king. We got a huge army. Muaz radiallahu anhu replied, if Heraclius is your king, then our king is Allah Ta'ala. Our king is Allah Ta'ala. Our leader is a man like the rest of us. Our Amirul Mu'minin, he's just like us. Right? If he governs us according to Allah Ta'ala's book and according to the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we keep him in office. If he changes that, we dispose him. He is not inaccessible like how your kings are. We can access him. We can go to him anytime. We can talk to him. He eats with us. He sits with us. Not like your kings. He is not inaccessible. He is not arrogant. And he is not treated differently from a common man. Right? So must remember, everybody is listening to this conversation. That look at the way of the Muslims. How simple. Everybody is the same. Here we got these kings and all that, now they are like, you know, different from us. Then, isn't they said that they got a huge army? So he recited another ayat of the Quran Sharif. He said, kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'iznillah wallahu ma'as-sabirin. How often a small group overcame a mighty group by Allah Ta'ala's permission. So having failed in tempting him, they came to their senses. They realized that, hey, these people... So they offered peace in lieu of letting the Muslims have Balqa. Balqa is an old name for Jordan. That area used to be called Balqa. So they said that, see, the Muslims can take Balqa and the areas surrounding Balqa. So they're starting to negotiate now. Right? They say, no, we'll give you all that and we'll keep this. So Muaz radiallahu anhu told them, say, see, you've only got three choices. In other words, he's telling them, don't talk like you all are in the driving seat here. We in the driving seat, we'll give you all the choices. So you've only got three choices. Number one, you'll accept Islam. Then we brothers, then there's no problem. Number two, you'll pay jizya. You'll live under our rule and you'll pay jizya. Or number three, we go to war. So this angered his host. They got angry when he told them like this. So they told him, no, you rather go back to your companions. We wish we could chain you in the mountains. They're telling, we wish we could chain you up in the mountains. So Muaz radiallahu anhu replied, certainly not the mountains. By Allah, either you kill us all to the last man, or we will eject you from this land in humiliation. Saying this, he returned. This incident shows the political and military personality of Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. It also shows his acumen in inviting towards Islam and responding to its critics. He showed them the inconsistency in their own lifestyle. The rich only get richer, the poor get poorer. He reminded them about their own religious teachings and invited them to embrace Islam. As for their shock and awe tactics and psychological warfare, he threw it back on them. Then he returned to his own leadership, which endorsed his entire discourse. Indeed, the Muslims used to call towards Islam before war. They didn't just go and start fighting. They invite towards Islam. Ubadah radiallahu anh was leading the right flank at the siege of Caesarea. Remember, we discussed that, right? He delivered a speech to his troops, asking them to re-evaluate themselves and ponder over their gunas. Then he led an attack which resulted in a lot of enemy losses, but they didn't achieve the objective. The Muslims returned to their base. Again, Ubadah radiallahu anh exhorted his companions to fight on. He showed extreme surprise as to why the attack failed to deliver. Normally, if we attack like that, we get our objective. Yeah, we're attacking, but we're not getting our objective. Then he said, I used to be the youngest, you know, amongst the generals of war. I used to be the youngest, but I lasted the longest, as Allah Ta'ala decreed to keep me alive until I fight this enemy with you. By the one in whose hand is my soul, I have never been part of a Muslim attack on a mushrik force, except that the non-Muslims ceded ground and Allah Ta'ala gave us victory. So why could you not do the same? He then added, by Allah, I fear one of two things in this regard. Either you have been financially dishonest, right? Or you have not been sincere to Allah Ta'ala in this attack. Either there's been some dishonesty financially, or we are lacking ikhlas. He urged his men that see, sincerely, desire shahadat, desire martyrdom, telling them that he would lead the attack from the front and he would not return except if Allah Ta'ala made them victorious or Allah Ta'ala grants him martyrdom. When the assault occurred, Ubadah radiallahu anh dismounted his horse. He charged on foot. Umayr bin Saad Ansari saw this. He called out to the Muslims, informing them of the daring actions of Ubadah radiallahu anh, and he asked them to follow suit. They fought valiantly until the Romans were beaten back and the Romans sought refuge in their fort. Hakim bint Harith was married to Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. He had accepted Islam radiallahu anh. He was martyred during the wars of Sham. they'll have went. So she waited for the iddat period, right? 4 months, 10 days. Yazid bin Abi Sufyan and Khalid bin Sa'id proposed to her. But she chose the latter, Khalid bin Sa'id. Khalid bin Sa'id had fought at Ajnadain and Pella. When the army moved to Marjus Sufar, Khalid wished to consummate the marriage. However, Hakim requested him to delay it until Allah Ta'ala granted them victory over the Romans. Khalid replied that he feared that he would be martyred in the looming battle. At this, Hakim agreed, and they stayed together at a tent near the bridge at Merj, which was later named Hakim Bridge. Right? So Khalid, thereafter, he made Wanima, right? Because he consummated his marriage now. So yeah, imagine in war. He consummated the marriage, now they had a Wanima also. They had barely finished the Wanima, and the Romans started raiding their troops in battle order. Khalid bin Sa'id, this is not Khalid bin Walid now, this is Khalid bin Sa'id. Khalid bin Sa'id fought valiantly, and he was soon martyred. Imagine, she just got married. She was married, that husband got martyred in Sham. She says her iddat, and then she gets married. This husband is martyred over here now. Hakim tightened her robes and came out to fight. While the perfume that she had worn for her marriage was still fresh, she had put perfume. Poor husband now is coming to spend the first night with her. So she was still in that condition, and the husband had been martyred. A fierce battle was fought to control the river, and both sides held their ground. On that day, Hakim killed 7 Romans with the pole of the tent where she had stayed with her new husband. Not the peg of the tent, yes. Sharp at the bottom. So with the peg of the tent, she killed 7 Romans on her Wadima day. In the year 15 Hijri or 16 Hijri, Caesar retreated with his troops from the Levant. He went away to Roman lands. Whenever Heraclius used to come as a pilgrim to Jerusalem, he would return at the end of the pilgrimage saying, "Peace be upon you, O Syria. Accept the departure of this soul who has not stayed as much as he desired, and he will return." When he finally decided to leave the Holy Land for good, and he reached Edessa, he asked its residents to accompany him to Constantinople, his capital. The subjects refused, however, saying, "Leaving us here would be more beneficial to you than taking us with you." Caesar accepted their decision. When he reached Shimshat, he climbed to a balcony and he said, while facing to Jerusalem, he said, "Peace be upon you. Assalamu alayka ya Sham. O Sham." A greeting after which we shall never meet. He said, "Now I'm going, I won't come back now. Because the Muslims are invading." Then Heraclius moved on to Constantinople and used it as his seat of power. Once there, he questioned a subject of his who had been made captive by the Muslims. So he asked him about the Muslims. He said, "Explain to me." He replied, "I will describe them as if you are looking at them." In other words, I'll give you an accurate description of how they are. They are cavalrymen riding their horses by day. In other words, during the day they are mujahideen. And at night, they are abideen. Nighttime, they are in ibadat. If you see them at night, you will think they are monks. You know, Christian monks, they just make ibadat all the time. Say night time they are like that. Daytime they are on their horses, they are fighting, they are mujahideen. They do not take anything from those under their authority except by paying its full price. Say the non-Muslims that are living in their lands, they don't rob them. They don't just take anything oppressively. Never mind they got the upper hand. They will pay the full price and they will take it. They do not enter anywhere without saying Assalamu alaikum. So Heraclius said, if you are speaking the truth, they will indeed own this land under my feet. But you see, although he knew all this, but no iman. He knew the Muslims were on haq. He knew everything, but no iman. We'll stop here. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.